Healing Lesson 1. I have been waiting for this a long time. Perhaps you've heard half of this already in bits and pieces. We are going to begin right on the point, with healing. Once we get rolling, this is going to hopefully be a blessing to you. This is one of my favorite, if not my favorite topic. I have prepared for this a lot. At the same time, I'm really trusting that the Holy Spirit will minister through me, in changing the way we think, changing the way we speak, and changing the way we approach life. If I were to take a survey right now of all the people here, probably most of you would love to say, I wish I had a healing ministry, or healing is important to me, or I want to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. That's just something that is within us as born-again children of God. We want to impart healing to other people. Am I not correct in that? That's just something we want to see. How much more then should we understand that that is God's will, because it is God who is creating that desire in us to see others healed. That is what we want to talk about in this first lesson. That is God's willingness to heal us. What is God's will? I have two goals in this lesson. The first is to create an environment for healing. As we go through these lessons, I want to create an environment for you to receive healing. Healing is here right now. The Word is alive. There is enough healing in this room for you. It is here, but sometimes we have not created our own environment for health and healing in our lives. Therefore, we need the body of Christ to help us in that. I want that to be my goal. I want healing to take place within this lesson. I will pray for you and believe God. I have seen healing take place in my life. In fact, there were physical manifestations of healings at a healing revival that I recently attended, including in my own life. We want to see that take place here, and I believe that we will. My second goal in this teaching is for you to learn how to share these principles, these truths, and this power with other people. The world needs healing. The world needs ministers who are not afraid to preach healing. For, which is easier, to say thy sins be forgiven, or take up your bed and walk? That is a rhetorical question. For us it is far easier to say thy sins be forgiven, because it does not require proof. I will talk more about that later. I want you to be ministers of healing, ambassadors of healing, ones who will carry this healing to other people. Let us look at Luke 4:18. That is, Luke 4:18, Jesus says as he begins his ministry. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. I could talk about this for a long time. Nevertheless, I am limited by time. This is a never-ending subject. One thing that I will ask you to do is to open yourself up to all healing teachers. Everybody has a different perspective and a different slice of the pie. I am going to bring what God has put in me. Yet, I am not in any way thinking, nor declaring that I have all the truth on this. Listen to others that speak to you. Buy books about healing. Get whatever you need to get. Be open to it. Listen to it. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in it. Don't just fix on one particular person or one particular kind of healing. There are many ways that God brings healing to us. There are many different ministers that have great revelation in certain areas. So, do not close yourself off to anyone, and I am not reporting to have everything on this subject. Please be open to all things in the realm of healing. Now the interesting thing, when I go through the gospel and I read the life of Jesus or the ministry of Jesus, one of the first things that I notice is that Jesus never taught healing. I don't know if anyone noticed that. Healing followed him, but he never taught healing. Yet, we spend hours, and there are multitudes of books teaching healing. Why do we have to teach healing? Well, probably one of the main reasons we have to teach healing now is because we have 2,000 years of bad teaching about healing. Healing has become something that the Church first of all did not always understand and later did not always embrace, and finally began to teach against as the centuries rolled by. Sickness began to be embraced as a tool of God. A tool that God uses to perfect or chastise the saints. So we have so much bad teaching about healing, that it has become necessary to teach on healing. Yet, when you look at the life of Christ and the ministry of Jesus, he did not walk around teaching about healing. Therefore, we have to do some correcting, some mind renewing, and one of the things that we are going to try to do here is to renew our minds to this topic. Let us look at Luke 4:18. That is, Luke 4:18. Jesus says as he begins his ministry, "Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord."
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. We will give an example here. Jesus has just said, "I have come to set at liberty the captives, to preach deliverance, to open blind eyes," and we come to Luke 9:11. That is, Luke 9:11. "Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing."
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God. He did not proclaim healing. He proclaimed the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing, as a demonstration or as a manifestation of the kingdom of God. So his heart was to proclaim the kingdom, and in that message there was power to heal those who came, because the kingdom consists of his power. The kingdom consists of his will, and his will is that his people be healed. Now think of this for yourself. Go to Colossians 1:13. That is, Colossians 1:13. "Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son."
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Now let me ask you, what kingdom do you live in, since he has delivered us from the power of darkness? We could put it this way. He has delivered us from the power of sickness. He has delivered us from the power of poverty. He has delivered us from the power of failure. He has delivered us from defeat. He has delivered us from depression. He has delivered us from ourselves if we would. You see, some people, their spirit is in the kingdom, but their hormones and their brains are still in the world. They are choosing to live by their hormones, rather than by their renewed spirit. Whether you understand it, or whether you are participating or not, you have been delivered from the power of darkness. You have been delivered into the kingdom. Now the kingdom we just read, Jesus went about preaching the kingdom, and received all who came to him, and what did he do? He healed them. What kingdom are you living in? We need our minds renewed. Yet, your mind alone cannot necessarily heal you. You need a revelation in your spirit, of who you are and where you live, and of what you have been delivered from. We are going to be renewing our minds during these lessons. Your spirit needs to understand that I do not live in the other kingdom. I do not live under the power of sickness. That is not the power that rules in my kingdom. If the kingdom is in me, and Jesus said it was, then the power that rules in me is a power that is health and healing and life. Go with me to 2 Peter 1, 3-4. That is, 2 Peter 1, 3-4. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
3 According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, for whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Everything that you need is in the kingdom. Your healing is in the kingdom. Are you in the kingdom with your healing blessing? Can you reach out and take it? This is where a lot of us need to make that decision, that I am not going to live by my unrenewed mind. I am not going to live by my flesh. I am not going to live by my hormones. I am not going to live the way the world would have me to live. I am going to accept the fact that I have been translated into the kingdom. In the kingdom is my life, my health, my healing and my power to live. That is where health and life are. In the kingdom He has given us promises that we might receive the kingdom in us. Healing should follow the gospel. When we preach the gospel, we expect people to get saved, and it's like it is the icing on the cake if they get healed. Actually, the whole cake should be salvation and healing. There should be just as many healings as there are salvations. In other words, the whole package is available, if we would preach the whole package. We have broken it up into bite-sized pieces for people, and sometimes we would only preach one bite. You must be born again. Yes, you must. Did you know that the minute that you are born again, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and healed too, instantaneously? In fact, you can be healed before you are filled with the Spirit. I actually know people who were healed before they were saved. Healing is part of the kingdom, and the kingdom is being preached. There is enough healing in the message of the kingdom for every person on this earth. Healing has been provided for everyone. We have been translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom, and in the kingdom is healing. When He preaches the kingdom, He receives all who come unto Him, and they get healed. There is really no reason any of us cannot be healed if we are living in the kingdom. Let us go to Acts 8. That is, Acts 8, 5-12. We will find somebody who is kind of like us. We will read from verse 5. We are going to read about Philip. Now I picked Philip out of the book of Acts, because Philip started off as a waiter. He was setting tables. I thought we could identify with him, because he was just a guy in the church. It says he was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Well, we should all be full of faith and the Holy Spirit. He was not one of the apostles. He was just a guy who had been chosen to set tables. I can identify with that. I once was a messenger, so I can go all the way back to that, and I can identify with Philip. Again, let us turn to Acts 8, 5-12. It says, Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
5 Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. 6 And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. 7 For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. 8 And there was great joy in that city.
We go down to verse 12.
12 But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women.
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Verse 5 says, Philip preached Christ. Verse 12 says, But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. What was he preaching? The kingdom. And what was the demonstration of the kingdom message? Verse 7 says, When he preached Christ, then people were getting delivered. They were getting healed, and this was a guy that was setting tables shortly before that. You have that same power in you. I have that same power in me. We all have that same anointing, that same ability, that same greater one that lives in us. It is the same in all of us. Yet, for some reason we have separated this healing thing. The reason we have separated it is because it is visible. We are much more comfortable talking about the invisible. When it comes to the visible, then we shrink back, and we say what if it doesn't work, because we can see healing. Because we are shrinking back, we are losing the power of the message of the kingdom, and people are not getting what has been provided for them. Perhaps even you are not getting what has been provided for you, because perhaps you are not understanding how the kingdom works. Go with me to Matthew 11, 12. That is, Matthew 11, 12. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Can you reach out and take the kingdom violently, with passion or with force? Go with me to Ephesians 1, 3. That is, Ephesians 1, 3. Ephesians 1, 3. It says, here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. All of our spiritual blessings are already in the kingdom of heaven, including our healing. You don't have to speak it into existence, because God already created it and placed it in the kingdom, and has sat down and rested. The message of the kingdom is for our spirit, soul and body. It is not just for your spirit. To the same degree that your spirit has been transformed, your body can be renewed, and your youth can be renewed like the eagle. If I could just have you close your eyes for just 1 minute. Just bear with me for a moment and envision in your spirit, the Holy Spirit. And now let the Holy Spirit out. If you can, in your divine imagination, see the cells of your body. See the Holy Spirit flowing from your spirit into those cells and bringing life and restoration, receptive miracles, healing. That is the kingdom power. That is the Spirit of God within you. It is not a message just for your spirit. It is so that your spirit can become a factory of health and life, of healing for your entire body and for other people's bodies. That is the power of the kingdom. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, from the power of darkness, into the kingdom of the Son. That kingdom message is a healing message, of the spirit, soul and body. Let us go to 1 Corinthians 4:20. That is, 1 Corinthians 4:20. 1 Corinthians 4:20. It says, here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. The kingdom is the power place. It is a power message. It is a message that will touch your spirit, soul and body. Nothing is left out of the kingdom message. We will talk about that in a later lesson called The Power of Redemption. Now, let us talk about God's will, His health and healing. Many people miss on their healing because they think, and this is where the wrong teaching has come in over the years. They think that God has some purpose in their sickness, or for some reason they deserve the sickness, to teach them something. This is sin consciousness. Guilt and sin consciousness open the door for sickness. Many people feel like I'm not worthy to be healed. I deserve this. I know what I have done that made this happen. Basically, what they are saying is that there is not enough provision for my body in redemption. God can forgive my spirit for my sin, but my body is going to have to suck it up. That is what we are thinking subconsciously, or perhaps even consciously. I have good news. There is enough grace in Jesus Christ for your body. There is enough grace, there is enough provision for every cell of your body. Everything in your body should, and can, submit to the will of God, and the will of God is that you have a long and prosperous life. Death does not have to come by sickness. Death is when your spirit leaves your body, James 2:26. The body without the spirit is dead. That does not mean that you have to get sick. Your body is mortal. It is going to run its course. It does not have to finish its course sick. It can finish its course healthy. You run your course. You finish your race, and then the spirit leaves the body. You do not have to be sick for that to happen. We have understood and bought the world's way of thinking that as you get older, all these different sicknesses have to happen. They have them all listed out. We will talk about that later. This is what is going to happen at each age, and then you die. You do not have to live that way. We are going to think kingdom thoughts here. We are not going to think what the world wants you to think. Many of us are already getting stuff in the mail about insurance for our nursing home years. Many places will send you at least one a week. They are really trying to get you thinking that way. I refuse to think that way. I plan to be teaching for a long, long time. Amen? You see how you think, how you program, how you project yourself. Are you projecting yourself in kingdom life, or are you projecting yourself the way the world would have you think? I'm trying to project myself, realizing that I have been translated from the power of how the world thinks, into the kingdom of God, and God's will is health and healing. Faith is born when God's will is known in the heart. Faith for your healing is born hopefully in these hours of teaching. Healing is the result of faith in your heart, knowing this is your inheritance. This is God's will. This is what He has for you. I do not know how many of you know the story of Kenneth Hagin, but he was on his deathbed as a teenager at about 16. He was given up for dead. He was wasting away, I forget all the diseases. Nevertheless, he got his grandmother's Bible and he was reading. He comes to Mark 11, 23-24, and it says, "That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things, which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." And Kenneth says, "That means me. I am whosoever." Something came alive in his heart, and he said, "That has got to be me. That has got to include me," and he began to speak out, and he says, "If this is true, if the word of God is true, then I am healed. I declare myself healed." He got up and walked out. His family was in the kitchen or living room or whatever. He walks out, and his family says, "What are you doing? You are supposed to be dying in bed." He says, "I am healed." You see, he got it. He got it for him. He got that revelation, and he did not die until he was in his upper 80s. He ran his race. Can you imagine if he had given up and submitted himself to the words and the thoughts of his family? Think of the ministry, which would have never taken place. What is in you? What does God have in you, that you are letting be limited by wrong thinking and living in the wrong kingdom? Get your faith stirred. Get a hold of the Word of God. There is enough Word in this building for you to get a hold of the Word and release it into your life. Sickness is not a part of God's plan for creation. Let us go to Genesis 1, 31. That is, Genesis 1, 31. We are going to go from Genesis to Revelation real quick here. Genesis 1:31, it says, "Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
And God saw everything that he had made, and, behold, it was very good. Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. It was very good. In the beginning when God created the earth, was there sickness in the earth? We are going to find out later where sickness came from, but there was no sickness when God created the earth. It was very good, it was perfect, it was gorgeous, and we cannot imagine what it was, unbelievably good. There was no sickness in creation. Now we are going to jump forward a few thousand years. Let's go to Acts 10, 38. Just real quick, we want to get the heart of God. He was not responsible for sickness in the beginning. Acts 10, 38. Now we have Jesus ministering, and there appears to be a lot of sickness. This says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now listen to this. Acts 10, 38. That is, Acts 10, 38. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Jesus went about doing what? Good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because why? God was with him. Here is a novel thought. Where God is, healing is. Where God is, life is. Where God is, strength is, power is, victory is, joy, peace. That's God. For God was with him. He went about healing because God was there. God was in him, God was around him, and so healing follows God. Wherever God is, healing is. Now question. Is God in you? Then what is in you? Healing is in you. See, your healing is in you now. All of the power that is necessary to fix whatever is wrong, whatever ails you, is in you now. To make whatever is out of order, in order, is in you now. You see, the power is there. Because God was with him, he brought healing. You see, in our church, if we had that concept, God is here, therefore healing is here. Can you imagine? The church should be a place of such power, such healing. This gathering should be a place of such power and such healing, because after all, who is here? God is here, and because God is here, what is here? Healing is here. I get torn because I have to teach it, but it bothers me that I have to teach it. I would rather just see it released, but we have so many roadblocks and barriers in our mind and things that we have to undo, so we have to teach it. Praise God. But the word that we are teaching has power to heal you, because God is in that word. It is God's word. Wherever God is, healing is. We will go to Revelation 22. I told you we were going from Genesis to Revelation. Revelation 22, 2. Just to show you the heart of God. At the end of things, I don't know what things we are talking about, but I think we are into the new heaven and the new earth at this point. Revelation 22, 2. That is Revelation 22, 2. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. So even in Revelation, God is still concerned with healing. The word there is from the word, which we get the word therapy. Healing, in this sense, physical healing. At the very end of the book, God is still bringing healing. Acts 10:38, Jesus goes about doing good, because God was with him. Healing those who were oppressed, because God was with him. In Genesis 1:38, he did not create sickness, he created, and everything was very good. So God's willingness, God's health and heart is healing, all through Scripture. Now let us look at Jesus' willingness to heal. John 6:38. This is just an introductory lesson, just to get us all on the same page, that God wants us well. You would be amazed at how many people would have already choked on this message and be wanting to fight me. In many Christian groups, they could not have even gotten this far into this topic without wanting to duke it out logically. What is wrong with that picture? Why do we believe that God needs something that he did not even create, and something that his presence makes flee? Why do we think that he needs that for us, or uses it, or allows it? Why do we think that way? You see, that is the religious subconscious mind at work. You can identify subconsciousness and guilt in religion the moment the subject of healing comes up. This is the subject that reveals where everybody is doctrinally, what your concept of God is. I can just talk to you about healing for about 5 minutes, and I will know what your concept of God is. This is where the rubber meets the road. John 6:38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus came to do his will. He came to do the Father's will. What did Jesus go about doing? We just read in Acts 10:38. Healing some who were oppressed of the devil? No. All. I did not come to do my will, but the Father's will. He said he went about healing all who were oppressed, because God was with him. It's like God was just hanging over his shoulder. There's another one. Heal him. There's another one. Heal him. There's another one. Heal him. I mean, this was God's will. God is wanting this to happen. If we are not healed, folks, it has nothing to do with God's will. God's will is that all be healed. God's will is that you finish out your days. I believe personally he has given us 120 years. We talk about 70 or 80 in Psalms, that was the curse on Israel in the desert. That is not our promise. That is not a promise at all. That is a curse. Yet, we latch onto that. That is an unrenewed thinking. That is talking about Israel in the desert for rebelling, and the church has latched onto that and said this is our promise. No. That was their curse. Your promise is 120. We have submitted ourselves to what the world says. We are programming ourselves for the nursing home just like they say. Man, get renewed in the spirit of your mind, and decide to finish your course with strength. Amen. Let's go to Mark 1:39-41. We are going to look at Jesus' willingness to heal. Mark 1:39-41. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
39 And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. 40 And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. 41 And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean.
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Verse 41 says, And Jesus, moved with compassion, question, has Jesus' compassion left the earth? And Jesus said, I will. If Jesus will for him, will he for you? What is it based on? His compassion, and his compassion has not left the earth. What didn't he ask the leper about? Tell me a little about your past leper. Tell me about the sin that made this happen. Are you worthy of this? No, none of that. None of this religious gobbledygook. He had compassion on him, and he said, I will. Let the I will for him be the same I will for you. Whatever it is that you are dealing with, whatever things you have accepted and are living with, let that I will get into your heart. Let that I will transform you, and awaken you, and move you to realize that perhaps you are being robbed, and get angry and take hold of that which Jesus has purchased for you. Let us go to Mark 5:22. Mark 5:22. Looking at how willing Jesus is to heal us. This is what most people stumble at. They think that, well, this has lasted for 5 years. I guess, well, God does not want me well. God is so more than willing than you can imagine. Mark 5:22. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
22 And, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. 23 And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. 24 And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. 25 And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, 26 And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. 27 When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. 28 For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. 29 And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. 30 And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes?
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Verse 24, And Jesus went with him. What did Jesus do? He said, Let me check my calendar? No. He said, I will. Verse 30, And Jesus said, Who touched my clothes? Now wait a minute. When the leper came up, he says, If you will, and Jesus said, I will. When Jairus came up, he said, If you would just come to my house, and Jesus is taking off towards his house. Now in the midst of all this, the little woman with the issue of blood somehow makes her way to him, and she touches him, and the power flows out of him into her, and he is not even involved in the situation. He doesn't even know who she is. Who touched me? So let me ask you this. Who willed it in this case? How is that possible? Because in 2 Corinthians 1:20 it says all the promises of God are yes and amen. When you touch Jesus by faith, All you are going to get is yes and amen. That is all that is in there, yes and amen. So he willed with the leper. He willed with Jairus. She willed in her case. She willed. Will you? Will you take what Jesus died to give you? Will you realize his willingness far exceeds your need? His provision far exceeds your need. His power far exceeds the little grimy thing that might be living in you. His power is so greater than that. Whatever organism, whatever illegal intruder, whatever DNA problem, whatever it is nothing in the sight of God's compassion, God's provision, Jesus' blood. Nothing can stand in the face of that. He is willing. Are you willing? Sometimes we are willing with our minds, but we have not become willing in our spirits. Our spirit man is saved, but our flesh and soul man still wants to mess around in the other world. We have to get the whole spirit, soul and body over into the kingdom. Amen. She touched him with purpose. Jesus will meet you at the point of your faith. Think of this. He met the leper at the point of his faith. He met Jairus at the point of his faith. He met the woman at the point of her faith. Now think about the centurion. It says, I have a servant at home tormented. He says, I am not worthy. There is the sin consciousness. He says, I am not worthy that you should come. That did not even stop his faith. I am not worthy that you should be under my roof. But, I have revelation of authority. You see, he is still dealing with this guilt and sin consciousness, but let me tell you, even if you are dealing with that, if you have a revelation of Jesus, the revelation will transcend your guilt. It will transcend your unworthiness. Now, sin consciousness will kill your faith in most cases. Nevertheless, even so, a revelation of his righteousness, his authority will heal you. Jesus will meet you at the point of your faith. Jesus said about the centurion, and I have never seen so great a faith even in all of Israel. He met him at the point of his faith. What is the point of your faith? Where is your faith? Some of us we do not even know where our faith is, because we have the teaching, we have the doctrine, we know the ABCs, and understand that God's will is healing, and yet none of that is faith. That is a renewed mind and right thinking. Yet, faith is when, like Kenneth Hagin, it makes a trip from your understanding to your heart. When it becomes alive. When it becomes real. When it becomes your revelation of God's will for your life. It is when you can say, I am part of that whosoever. It is when your heart tells you that he wants you to live a long, prosperous life, and strengthened in health. When you get that revelation, that is when the set you free is going to release faith. Jesus willed for the leper. Jesus willed for Jairus. The woman willed for herself. Jesus willed for the centurion. Jesus willed for you. Is it his will that you be healed? Let us go to Mark 2, that is, Mark 2, 1-12. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
1 And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. 2 And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. 3 And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4 And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. 5 When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. 6 But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, 7 Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? 8 And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? 9 Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk? 10 But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, 11 I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. 12 And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion.
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Verse 9, Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk? Let me ask you this. In today's church, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven. Why is that easier? Because we cannot see it. What is Jesus saying here? What Jesus is saying here, if you think about this, and meditate. The man is healed, arise, take up your bed and walk, and everybody marveled. He was healed because his sins were forgiven. How many people did Jesus heal in 3.5 years? Multitudes. What does that mean about each and every one? Their sins were forgiven. It is the forgiveness of sins that releases the power to heal the sin has destroyed. What is easier to say? Why is it such a big deal? If your sins are forgiven, you should be healed. The kingdom message is spirit, soul, and body. To the degree that we see salvation, we should see healing. They should go hand in hand. Your sins are forgiven. Look, to show you that your sins are forgiven, be healed. Get up. And everyone that Jesus healed, their sins were forgiven, because the righteous one has forgiven their sins. How do we know that their sins were forgiven? Because they were healed. Now, I ask this, how many of you have had your sins forgiven? So what does that mean? How many of you still choose to sin sometimes? Not as many hands want to go up. See, you can still choose to sin. You can still choose to be sick, but there has been provision made. But if you have been forgiven, your healing is just as available as holiness is available. You can walk in holiness, or you can walk in sin. You can walk in health or in sickness. It has all been provided for us. If you have been forgiven, then you have been healed. That is good news. Let us look at Jesus is willing to heal again. Let us go to Luke 9. Luke 9, 1-6. That is, Luke 9, 1-6. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
When then he called his 12 disciples together, and gave them power and authority over all devils, and to cure diseases, 2 And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick, 3 And he said unto them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither half 2 coats apiece, 4 And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart, 5 And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. 6 And they departed, and went through the towns, preaching the gospel, and healing everywhere.
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word, verse 2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, and to do what? To heal the sick. So first we have Acts 10, 3-30. We have Jesus going about doing good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. That is one. Now, he called his 12 together and gave them the same power and authority, and told them to heal the sick. Are you following me? Let us go to Luke 10, verse 1. That is, Luke 10, 1, and verses 8-9. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
One after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them 2 and 2, before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Verse 8. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. 9 And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you.
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Verse 1, After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, now we are up to 83, and sent them 2 and 2, before his face in every city. Verse 8-9, And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Now he has 83 people out, preaching the kingdom of God, healing the sick. Is healing important to Jesus? It is a demonstration of the message of love. It is a demonstration of the message of redemption. It is the manifestation of what the message is all about, that things are out of order. The kingdom puts things in order, including your body, and if we would get our mind wrapped around this, and get our spirit tuned with this, and understand that the power to heal you is already in you. All it has to do is be released. Lie back on your bed, your chair or whatever, close your eyes and meditate on this. Realize that the power that you need for every cell of your body is in your reborn spirit, because God is in you, and there is no lack. Let us go to Mark 16. Now we are up to 83 people ministering healing. Is anybody getting blessed? Mark 16, 14. That is, Mark 16, 14 to 18. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
14 Afterward he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them, which had seen him after he was risen. 15 And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. 16 He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. 17 And these signs shall follow them that believe, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. 18 They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Verse 17, And these signs shall follow them that believe. Who are the signs following? Just the 12? Just the 83? No. All that believe. Verse 18, They shall lay hands on the sick, and they might recover? No. They shall recover. Now, who is this for? It is for the whole church. Just as some believe that healing has passed away, many saints believe that if some lay hands on the sick, that they might recover. More importantly, some saints are persuaded that if we lay hands on ourselves, we might recover, if it be thy will. As my mom would say, this is a case of the pot calling the kettle black. Or as the Bible would say, this is a case of accusing and excusing. You complain when other people do it. Then you turn around and do the same thing. Therefore, you are without excuse. The fact is, the will of God is written on your hearts. You are accusing others of proclaiming healing has passed away, is evidence that you know that God heals all my diseases. Therefore, you are without excuse. Of course, we have to cooperate with God's will by faith. It is not going to sovereignly come to pass, even though it is His will for us to recover. Jesus has commissioned, commanded, and ordained the church be against what? Against sickness. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, there was not one sick among them. That is God's will. The church should be a destroyer of sickness. The church should be set against sickness, in the same way that Jesus was set against sickness. Everyone who came to Jesus was healed. Jesus never created sickness, never made anyone sick, never left anyone sick. Never told anyone that this needs to go on about 2 more weeks and then we will heal you. He never said that. He just healed them. Never gave an interview, are you worthy? He just healed them, because they had faith, because this is the kingdom. The kingdom is something that needs to invade the darkness. We cannot just tiptoe around this. We have to take it with power, with conviction, with faith. He says, all who believe, they will lay hands on the sick, and they, it does not say might recover, it says they shall recover. There is no doubt about this. This is the message of the kingdom. Let us go quickly to Acts 5. So let us look at the church, the early days of the church. This is one of my favorite passages. Acts 5, 12 to 15. Early days of the church, after Jesus is gone. Acts 5. 12 to 16. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
12 And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. 13 And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. 14 And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. 15 And so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. 16 There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one.
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Everyone, you see, Jesus told them to go out and heal the sick, and now we have the early days of the church, and they are coming by multitudes to the church and to Jerusalem. Now, what is happening? All of them are getting healed. Everyone that believes, as David said, God heals all my diseases. If you had been there, you would have been healed too. Well, isn't the church still alive today? Shouldn't we be getting healed in church? Aren't we the temple of the Holy Spirit? Isn't that same power alive today, that same passion? God wants you well. God wants you healed. I do not have time to look up 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts, the Spirit. He gives gifts of healing to the church. Gifts of healing belong to the church. Doesn't God want us well? You go to James 5. You will have to look this up at home. I am out of time. It says, James 5, 14-16. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
14 Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. 15 And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. 16 Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Verse 14, Is any sick among you? Just the question alone reveals to us something important. He shouldn't have to ask the question. By the way, is any among you sick? The question alone reveals that there shouldn't be any sick among us. There should not be any sick in the church, or any sick in Bible school, or any sick in this meeting. We should not be sick, because the power of God is here for healing. God's will is healing, and I am going to see people healed. Amen.